Good evening and welcome to Vespers. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And I hope that you have a red hymnal and a booklet that says Vespers 07 on the front. We will need both of these for our service. The booklet with Vespers 07 will be used just at the very end of the service. We have an outgoing long-term staff member, Yerda Jorgensen, and we will have a sung blessing at the end of that booklet we will be using at the very end of the service. Our homilist this evening is Merritt Trelstead, and our service will begin with a call to worship. I'd like to ask you to turn to page 57 in the very front of your hymnal. Those are the small numbers on the bottom of the page. What we have here is part of the church calendar, and through the year, different great exemplars of faith and life are marked and observed on the calendar, and you'll see in the middle of page 57, it says, Mary, Mother of our Lord, August 15th. And so I thought it would make sense to open our service with the prayer that is designated for that day. Mary plays something of a role here at Holden in that every Saturday, as we sing our Vespers service, we stand and we sing those words of Mary, known as the Magnificat, the song that Mary sings after the angel comes to her and tells her she will bear a child and whose name will be Jesus. And through the ages, Mary's presence and Mary's witness, she is sometimes referred to as the first disciple, to whom the angel came, and her response was, let it be with me according to your word. And she sings the song about the mighty cast down, the lowly lifted up, the hungry fed, the rich sent away empty. Mary's presence through the church and Mary's presence here at Holden is one of inspiration, and one where we see the reversals of the reign of God come near. And so let's begin with this prayer. I'll pray it with one voice. We'll respond with Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in choosing the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, you made known your gracious regard for the poor, the lowly, and the despised. Grant us grace to receive your word in humility, and so to be made one with your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Once I had a dream that I met God. As a religion professor, a statement like that would send me running. But it's true, actually, once I had a dream that I met God. And this wasn't a dream, or it isn't a dream that I've shared with many, and I'll warn you that this dream has different parts to it. There are some very silly bits and some very odd or weird parts. There's an analytical or scientific part and an interesting part. It was a dream, after all. So it was 1989. My college roommate and I were sleeping, and I dreamt that we determined that one of us should attempt to meet God, while the other one took notes for posterity. So it's completely reasonable, right? Especially in college, you'd have the note taker. So here was the plan. The person on the God mission simply had to keep speaking her experience out loud, reporting on the events and the sites so that the other could record everything, and then we'd discuss it later. I was the one chosen to find God, while Laura would stand by, clipboard, paper and pen in hand, and that's the scientific part. So you see, I had to describe and report continuously to her. And this actually comes to play later in the dream. It had an impact on the later events. So where was this search for God to begin? Well, under my dorm desk, of course. You see, if you were to slide, this is a little known fact, but if you were slid feet first, laying on your back underneath my desk, there was the possibility that you would go into another dimension. So this is... Laura assisted me, and slid me under the desk. And it just so happened that it worked. This is the thing. I found myself standing in a gap in a brick wall around me, looking into another room. Now, here's the weird part, if it hasn't gotten weird already. In this room, it was rather gray or hazy, and there were people that seemed kind of limp and boneless, shadow-like in their consistency, and they were affixed or sort of hung by their shirt collars on the wall opposite me. One was definitely a cowboy, and that detail plays no relevance that I'm aware of. But oddly, this was not scary, but rather interesting, since it was obvious that they were talking to each other, but I could not hear them. Their mouths were moving in animated speech, but no matter how hard I strained, I couldn't hear a thing. So it occurred to me that I might not be using the right part of my brain to hear them. And perhaps I had to listen differently and consciously utilize a different aspect of both hearing and thinking. I, of course, reported this to Laura and then experimented with different forms of listening until I really found the right frequency. And suddenly, I could hear them speak and these kind of people shadows, and I could talk to them. "Where can I find God?" I asked them. They indicated or pointed to a stairwell next to them. So I moved in that direction. I would not really say walking, but kind of characteristic in movies and whatnot. I was kind of floating, kind of. But for your information, in case you get to go there too, you had to make some kind of effort, some kind of walking movement to actually go forward and make progress. But once at the stairwell, I figured I had to go up, because where's God after all? At this, I found myself laughing actually at these childlike assumptions. Literally, in my dream, I was thinking, well, isn't this funny? Like, I'm assuming you have to go up to find God. And these kind of childlike assumptions that were incorporated into this journey to find God. So kind of like Harry Potter's dream of heaven, spoiler alert, my own personal journey seemed to accommodate my own assumptions really nicely, as though someone knew that I would assume what I would assume and kind of created a scenario to match it. And it seemed actually kind of thoughtful and nice to meet me on my own terms. So up I went. Instead of taking the stairs, I simply stepped into the middle of the stairwell, the space between those flights of stairs, and kind of kicked my feet. And I had the sensation of going up, or at least things kind of changed around me. As I got closer or higher, it grew brighter and brighter, until at the top, the corners of the very white walls seemed to kind of meet seamlessly. It was so bright you couldn't see where the walls were meeting. And floating at the top of this stairwell, I looked up, and at the top of the walls lining the ceiling, there were cracks. And flooding through these cracks was the most brilliant, bright, white light that you can imagine. It was silent, except, of course, that I was reporting to Laura. So I was talking. And I was pretty sure that if I could lift off that ceiling, there would just be limitless white light. And it was stunning, really. But no sound. So I said, "Are you also sound or just light?" As soon as I said it, I realized I had made a mistake. I had said God was just light to God's self, as though I was really expecting something more. And so I started apologizing, saying things like, "I didn't really mean just. I mean, this is pretty amazing and all. It's just that I was kind of wondering whether there was," and so on and so on and so on and so on. So I was just babbling away, apologizing for using the word just. And I thought that only I would first insult God and then spend my precious time with God kind of blathering. But I wittered on, and an odd thing happened. My own voice started to echo back to me from down the stairwell. As it returned to me, however, it was completely transformed into a new voice with different words. And I knew it was the voice of God in my dream, but I couldn't hear it over my own talking. Now, you could say that I should have simply shut up And yes, there is wisdom to listening in stillness and silence for the voice of God. But in this case, it was different, and I knew a few things. First, it was apparent that God was literally using my voice as a vehicle. And second, while it was frustrating that I couldn't understand God's words, I knew it would cease when I stopped talking. So even in my excitement over this discovery, I recognized that the message of God was inaccessible. This was actually okay, because the mode of communication was just so simply brilliant. This was the interesting part. I was just amazed at the whole situation altogether. Then I remembered my responsibility to my note taker and blurted out, "Wow, this is amazing." It took a lot of effort to do it, too. "This is amazing. You're using my own voice to communicate to me." "Merritt, wake up," were the next words, spoken by my confused and tired roommate, who was shockingly not holding her clipboard. I was wide awake and back in the room, looking from my roommate to the desk portal, breathing fast as though I'd been holding my breath for a long time. "You weren't writing all that down?" I asked. Nope. She was understandably a bit freaked out and certainly had not been my attentive accomplice. She had been sleeping, and I had woken her up by talking in my sleep. But for the record, at least I had stuck to our plan. So, now here tonight, I share with you this story because I thought that Holden might be a place where dreams could be tolerated. Is God really light and reflected voice found by listening with a different part of our minds? I have no idea. The Roman Catholic theologian Thomas Aquinas once said that God was inexplicable light. And that imagery holds in classic theology quite a bit. And some scientists have said that before the Big Bang, at T equals zero or pre-time, there would have been, that what would have been would be an infinitely dense brilliance, or some kind of like phrase. But more interesting to me, I guess, tonight is the idea that God's voice or presence can be around us in multiple ways, as this kind of perpetually present grace that becomes revealed in, with, and under our actions. Holden's summer theme of that First Peter reading links the idea of this manifold grace to our actions in the world. Like light, which contains all colors, needs to encounter an object to become visible color, the manifold presence of God encounters the world and is made known. Thanks be for word and light. Amen.
Tonight, as we are gathered together, we also wish to say farewell to a friend with whom we have shared life together in this place. Yerida Elin has been a bookstore area head and housekeeper head for the past year and 4 months. We will say a blessing, and we will conclude with the Vespers 2007 sending blessing, which can be found on the back page of the Vespers 07 music booklet. Yerida Elin, please come forward. We also invite anyone who would like to gather around and lay hands on Yerida. As you leave the village, after serving faithfully and well, we wish to send you off with a blessing and a gift, as you have been both blessing and gift to this village. Yerida Elin, child of God, sister in faith and life, thanks be to God for so richly blessing you and calling you to share with us life in this place. May God bless you and keep you as you continue on your journey wherever it may lead. These candles are a small token of our deep appreciation for all that you have brought to the village. Receive them as a sign of the light that you carry within you and as a reminder of your time at Holden in settings such as prayer around the cross. May your light continue to shine wherever you go. Yerida Elin, you are in our thoughts and prayers, and you will remain in our hearts. We now send you out with a Vespers 2007 blessing. Let us sing. In peace with good courage to serve the living God.